If you have your Bibles, please turn with me in John's Gospel to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? If you love me, keep my commandments. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may receive it. When I was fairly new to Brainerd Hills Presbyterian Church, the brother-in-law of a lady who was a member of our congregation asked if he could meet with me for lunch. He wanted to talk to me about a ministry that he was involved in to encourage my involvement in that ministry as well. In the course of our lunch, he asked me what I was preaching through, and I forget which book of the Bible I was on at that point, but he said, "I've got a good idea for a series of sermons you might do someday." And I said, "Okay." He said, you need to preach a series of sermons on the if verses in Scripture. And there are a lot of them. To this point, in John chapter 15, there have been three if statements, and this one in 14:15 is the fourth. The first is found in verse 3. Jesus said, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here Christ's return to gather us into glory is conditioned on his first departing from earth in his ascension. In verse 7, Jesus answered Thomas, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." Knowing Jesus is the required condition for knowledge of God the Father. We can experience the latter only if we possess the former. In verse 14, Jesus conditions his actions on our behalf with the if of prayer. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." These are cause and effect relationships in God's economy of which we may be absolutely certain and from which we may derive great comfort. Particularly important among this list of if conditions is the one that pertains to our love for Christ. In this case, the result of our love for Jesus is as certain as it is important. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Many people, including some Christians, have difficulty thinking of love and obedience together. We may act either in love or according to law, but not both. Among liberals who are willing to dismiss the Bible's teaching, it is often said that what matters is not law, but only love. On this basis, recent generations have been taught a new morality in which the only guideline is love. Anything is permissible so long as it does not seem to hurt anyone. And this has been the driving idea behind the situation ethics approach that now dominates contemporary society. Its originator, Joseph Fletcher, said, "Only love is constant. Everything else is a variable." As a result of this thinking, marriages may be casually dissolved. Adultery may be celebrated. Contracts may be broken, parents may be disregarded, and all worldly things coveted. And all may be justified on the grounds that no one is being hurt. And that we're doing these things out of love. The antinomianism of liberalism, that is, anti-law posture of liberals, is not surprising. But what is surprising is the antinomianism that is in the church. There are those who conceive a radical contrast between law and grace in such a way that Christians are no longer obligated to obey God's law. This can be seen among some dispensationalists who tend to see the Old and New Testaments as teaching different approaches to God and salvation, and by Lutherans who tend to react against law-keeping out of a concern for legalism. Noting that the Ten Commandments are part of the Old Testament, and also noting that we are justified through faith alone in Christ, who kept the law for us, these Christians will assert that we are therefore saved in such a way as to be free from obedience to God's law. Well, the first problem with this Christian antinomianism is that the New Testament strongly emphasizes the Christian's duty to obey God's law. Paul writes that while we are saved from our failure to keep God's law, we are justified through faith in Christ. Now listen, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us as we walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 4. The elect, according to Peter, were chosen to obey Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. While the unregenerate are those who, according to Peter, do not obey the gospel of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. John emphasized the inseparable link between love and obedience in his first epistle. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. He asked the question, how did Jesus walk? Jesus walked in obedience to the revealed will of God. John goes on to write in 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the commandments are not burdensome. The second problem with the view that we need love and not obedience is the Lord's own teaching. If you love me, keep my commandments. According to Jesus, the Christian's bond of love with him does not free from God's law, but frees us to keep his commandments. If we love Jesus, that love will draw us to thoughts, words, and actions that are consistent with his thoughts and words and actions. William Barclay comments, it was by his obedience that Jesus showed his love to God, and it is by our obedience that we must show our love to Jesus. Alexander McLaren wrote, the principle that underlies these words, that is, he's speaking of the words, if you love me, keep my commandments, then is this, that love is the foundation of obedience, and obedience is the sure outcome and result of love. If I love him, I shall keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, that reads like a command, that if you love me, you must keep my commandments. But in the Greek, the last part of that sentence is not in the imperative. It is a future tense. It's not, if you love me, you must keep my commandments, but if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience to the commandments of God, obedience to the commandments of Christ, is the natural result and the necessary result of loving Jesus. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, there are a couple of things that we need to take note of in relationship to John chapter 14, verse 5. A number of important points related to obedience. The first is that our obedience to Christ's commands is personal obedience. That is, we do not obey a cold legal code, but we offer obedience to Jesus himself. Notice, he calls us to obey my commandments. This shows the divine lordship of Jesus Christ. Moses never called Israel to obey my commandments, but did call Israel to obey God's commandments. Jesus calls us to obey his commandments. He calls us to personal obedience out of love for him. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "There are some men for whom you would do anything. You will to yield to their will. If such a person were to say to you, 'Do this,' you would do it without question. Perhaps he stands to you in the relation of a master, and you are his willing servant. Perhaps he is even a venerated friend, and because you esteem and love him, his word is law to you. The Savior may much more safely than any other be installed in such a position, both in his person as the perfect Son of God and in his work, having shown us the highest love by dying for our sins. Jesus has earned the right to call us to personal obedience. Second, the only kind of true obedience to the Lord is loving obedience. That is, if we must obey Christ's commands, we must obey them willingly, gladly, freely, and as an intentional expression of our thanks and love to him. Again, Spurgeon comments, "The essence of obedience lies in the hearty love which prompts the deed rather than in the deed itself. Love is the chief jewel in the bracelet of obedience." How dead and useless is obedience to the letter of God's law without love for Christ. Paul wrote, If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." We see this in those who obey the letter of the Sabbath observance, but do not do it out of love and reverence for the one whose rest they have entered into by faith. We see this in those who are careful to tithe, but take no delight in giving to the work of the church out of love for Christ. Those who love Jesus give out of a grateful and loving heart cheerfully. We could say the same thing about sexual purity obedience to marital duties, church membership vows, and many other matters. Obedience to the commandments is obedience to Christ only when it is given out of love for Him. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Third, Jesus teaches the certainty of obedience when there is love for Him. We've already noted that the imperative is not used, but the future tense. R.C. Sproul notes, there are different ways that we can read this statement of Jesus. Some commentators take it this way, if you love me, then you are obligated to keep my commandments. That is, love is shown by obedience. Others believe Jesus was saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In this view, obedience is a certain and inevitable consequence of affection for Christ. The Reformers held to this view, and that is why they believe that while justification is not based on works, true justification always generates a response of obedience. Sanctification always and ever flows automatically and necessarily out of justification. If we love Him, we will obey Him. If we do not obey Him, that's proof positive that no matter what we say, there is no love for Christ in our hearts. Genuine love for Jesus manifests itself in obedience to His commandments. It is love for Christ that motivates our obedience to the commandments of Christ. Now let me tell you what this does not mean. It does not mean that if we ever break a commandment that has been given to us by Christ, and by extension, the commandments of God the Father, that there is no love in our hearts for either the Father or the Son. Remember that phrase from Luther? It's an important phrase. We are at the same time justified, declared as righteous through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and yet sinners. And until the day we die, until the day we stand in His presence and see Him as He is and become like Him, we will struggle with sin. People, godly people, committed people, people who have a deep affection and love for Christ, sin. But here's the rub. When they sin, they don't just dismiss the sin. They are troubled by their sin. They are sorry for their sin. And they look to God for the forgiveness of that sin. They don't say to themselves, "That doesn't matter, I love Jesus right here, and that's all that really counts. This obedience stuff, not my concern." There are too many people who profess faith in Jesus Christ who do not, by their lives, demonstrate that that faith is a genuine faith and that their supposed love for Christ is a true and genuine affection for the Savior. If there is no desire to walk in the commandments of Christ, if there is no desire to obey Jesus, then, dear brothers and sisters, there is no love for Christ in the heart. No matter what you might say, no matter what you might profess, no matter what you might believe. And do remember those verses in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 that I read just a few moments ago, that those verses were written in an epistle to assure God's people of what? Their salvation. How do we know our salvation is genuine? Well, among the three things that John tells us in that epistle, there is this. That if we love Him, we will what? We will keep His commandments. The one who says he believes, the one who professes his love, and yet does not keep his commandments, what does John say? A person's what? A liar. That's tough. But if there is a genuine love for Christ, there will be a genuine concern for obedience, for walking in the commandments of Christ. And before I stop this morning, let me just say this about the commandments of Christ. There are some people that limit those commandments to just what we find in the Gospels, to the words spoken by Christ. And they feel free to dismiss the commandments and the moral teaching of the Old Testament, and not only dismiss those commandments and moral teachings, but also to dismiss the commandments and the moral teaching that we find in the epistles given to us by the apostles. Well, let me remind you of something Paul wrote. He said that all Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. The prophets, when they spoke, the prophets, when they wrote, were those men who were inspired by God. So that the commandments that we have in the Old Testament are the commandments of God the Father. The commandments we have of Christ are the commandments of God the Son. We might say the commandments in the epistles are the commandments of the Spirit. And yet, there is one God who has revealed Himself in three persons. And whenever one person of the Godhead speaks, the other persons of the Godhead are speaking as well. So the commandments of Christ run from Genesis through Revelation. If you love Him, you not only need to know the commandments given to us by God, we must seek to obey those commandments. Then you, like me, would confess, I am so weak. Even on my best days, I still feel the tug of sin. Well, then Jesus goes on to say something else in verse 16. He said He will pray, and God will send another helper. God calls you to obedience, but doesn't call you to gut it out on your own. He calls you to obedience. And He gives you who? He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you obey. And if you're having trouble loving Christ and expressing that love in obedience, then pray. Confess that to the Father, in the name of the Son, and ask for the help of God's Holy Spirit, that you might daily die to sin, that you might daily die to self, and that you might live before our thrice holy God in loving obedience to all that He commands. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for these words of Christ. We thank you that he lays before us the importance of obedience and lays before us the true motive of that obedience. Oh, Father, we pray that our love for Christ might be demonstrated in that we keep his commandments, and that we keep them not grudgingly, but willingly, that we keep them not with sadness, but with gladness, that we keep them because they are his commandments, and we love the one who has given them to us. So therefore, in loving him, we love those commandments that he has given to us. Father, we know how weak we are. We know how puny we are and how often we fail in our love for you and in keeping your commandments. Help us, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to live our lives in submission to the will of the one who laid down his life out of love for us. We pray in his name. Amen.